That's me on the podcast, sharing a song with something to say about it. With Thin Lear and Niagara Moon, losing my opinion.
I've watched a lot of these. Right? Or listen, sorry.
My friend does that all the time, by the way. He says, oh, I watched a podcast. Oh, fuck, oh, I meant listened. He does that all the time.
I said we were taping one of these the other day, and Thomas admonished me.
You of all people. I feel like Thomas would be like, oh, now we're putting the right vernacular here. Get that reel-to-reel spinning.
Yeah, yeah. This is a four-track podcast. This is how we do it.
Now, that's a cool concept.
Wow, there must be somebody out there with enough disposable income to record all their podcasts to, like, Ampex
magnetic tape. Yeah, it'd be cool.
Well, let's not beat around the bush. We got a guest today, return guest, Nashville-based electro indie pop tunesmith, the Duke of Gloitch Pop.
Wow.
The Duke of Gloitch
Pop. I'm going with Duke. Jesse Gillenwalters, a.k.a. Basic Printer, is here with us today.
Hello. Wow, that was a very kind opening.
And he showed us some crazy music last time.
Oh, man.
He was here with one of the most memorable music videos I have ever seen.
Melty Face.
That has has not left my brain. I actually had
some Yodorovsky shit there.
Yeah, oh my God, I had it on. My wife was like, okay, can you turn that on? Not have that on? What was the name of that artist again?
That was Malibu Ken, which is a collaboration between Aesop Rock and Tibet.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Let's get the show intro out of the way too, shall we? We're just bing, bang, booming all over the place.
Sure.
This is, of course, Losing My Opinion. We're talking tunes. We got things to say about them. I am Salmon with Soy Mustard Glaze Cooking. Indie artist Niagara Moon, a.k.a. Thomas Irwin.
That's so whack.
Huh?
I don't really know. I don't know.
Do you cook?
I don't know how to come up with something for that. I am cereal devouring indie artist Thin Lear, a.k.a. Matt Longo. Sorry. I don't have an exciting thing that I've cooked recently.
You're still doing cereal, huh?
Yeah. Usually I do cereal after this podcast, actually.
Do you do it with like just 2% milk or?
I do it with almond glaze, actually. So that's where we get that in common.
Jesse, are you a cereal guy?
Yes. I was not before, but I recently got into Magic Spoon.
I've heard them promoted.
Oh, yeah. Very healthy. Yeah, it's a sponsor of the show.
I mean, hey, they could be. I'll try cereal again for
you. I was skeptical, you know? I mean, there's a lot to be skeptical about. And I do think it grows on you. It's really great.
Is it just like their version of Captain Crunch or whatever? Like it's remixes on classics or?
It's all, yes, definitely. They definitely kind of are calling out like, oh, like this is our frosted flavor, you know, it's emulating like Frosted Flakes or something. But it's all the loops. It's all one shape and there's different flavors, but it's great. Take out a loan and try one box.
We want that, we want that ad revenue for that. I mean, that was like a 2-minute spot that you just did.
Hey, it's in my blood.
Yeah, we're here to talk tunes. Thin Lear, I'm doing the segment today, right?
Yeah. Oh, we are in trouble today.
I got one.
This show is already off the rails.
I came prepared. I got some good songs to share with the two of you today.
Great. So it's a good one. Is it a serious one or is it?
You're going to enjoy the music. I think Jesse's down for anything, but I think you, Thin Lear, are going to be mad a little bit at the conceit of this segment today. I think you're going to scoff and roll your eyes. I'm going to say that shouldn't count.
All right, who's covering the wall?
But I got some good music to share.
Okay, I'll keep an open mind.
So, you know, we recently sat down with the lovely Wallace Field last week's episode, and she pegged us as you being the lyrics guy and me being the music guy.
That's right.
And today's episode is certainly going to enforce that.
Okay, what is this, like gibberish music? Like what are we...
No, that's a separate segment I'm working
it's
on.
The Sims?
Long time ago, as you probably know, I used to live in Japan. I knew a lot of music fans over there. You know, I had a band, played in venues, blah, blah, blah. Lots of talking about, you know, different artists with my peers over there. I would talk to folks who, you know, really didn't know English. You know, we were conversing in Japanese, but they would love the heck out of a song like The Times They Are A-Changin' or The Sounds of Silence. You know, sure, those just sonically, those are pretty songs, but even that audience there, people who didn't necessarily, you know, have the ability to understand those lyrics, maybe they read a translation or not, I don't know, but they're not getting, you know, they're not understanding the words in real time. They still, you could tell, they knew those songs were important and they felt the weight of songs like that, like the cultural impact, like the message in those songs. Like somehow it would come through to them even if they didn't necessarily understand the lyrics literally, you know what I mean?
Okay, I'm with you.
So I thought, can that go in reverse? Can I hear music where I don't understand it, but I know that it's important? I know that there's a big message here. I can just hear it. I can just smell it. The theme for this week is, I don't know what they're saying, but it sounds important.
Okay.
Nice.
I don't want to roll my eyes at that. I'm all right with that. I mean, how many podcasts have we done about the Italian?
No Paolo Conte this week, I swear.
God, I was going to say, please do not bring him
no
back.
No Paolo Conte.
He's not bad. I like him.
No Haruomi Hosono. I had to stretch my imagination a little bit.
Yeah.
So, okay, but those are good. Two promises up front. Jesse, do you find yourself listening to much music that's in a foreign language? Is that something you ever go to?
When I was big into playing Pump It Up, which is a variant, you know, it is one of the competitors of Dance Dance Revolution. Korean.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even heard of this.
By a Korean company called Andamiro, I forget. Tons of Korean music, tons of K-pop and stuff at the time.
Mm.
But that was pretty much the most, you know, foreign music I ever listened to in one chapter of my life.
Interesting. So Korean dance songs.
Yes. It dated, at this point, Korean dance songs.
Sure. From like a Gangnam Style era.
Just a little bit before that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was kind of, there was some cool older stuff in there.
Interesting. So before it really kicked off and became
yes.
top of the charts juggernaut.
So he was ahead of the wave, but only here was
right.
he ahead of
like,
the wave.
Absolutely. Like way pre like BTS and yeah.
Wow. Sure.
Yeah, now that's like some of the biggest music.
Yes.
Worldwide. True. Yeah.
I do have a Korean song in this list today, although it's
wow.
much different from what you're describing.
Okay.
I wanted to pick a different language for each one. I have four in total. I don't know how we can judge or rank this, but I guess just let me know if you get a sense of like lyrical FOMO from any of these songs in particular, where you're like, oh, I can tell it's here, the big statement, but I don't know what it is. If these songs give you that feeling, or if it's just me.
We were talking about this with Buena Vista Social Club. You know, like there was an element of that where it's like, you know, I can feel the weight of the complicated emotions of a tune and not necessarily know what's happening.
We are going to start with the Japanese song, and I still do understand Japanese to some degree, but I never use it anymore. And this song, like, if you got me to sit down and read through the lyrics, maybe I could get a sense together, but like hearing it sung, and especially how you're going to hear in a second how it's like delivered and so drawn out, and it's very surreal. I don't know what the message is here. I'm pretty much as blind as you guys going into this, but the song is called Marianne, from a band called The Jacks from 1968. They were like the original, like edgy hippies. Like there's a sense of danger with these guys. Definitely like a cult classic influential band in Japan. Really pioneers. Like you're even going to hear like a Velvet Underground influence in their music. Again, 68. So this is before the dam broke. Yeah. This is pretty radical stuff. The album was translated into Vacant World, which is a pretty cool title.
Tight. I do look like the Velvet Underground. Yeah. It's like a Sterling Morrison type figure in the back there.
Some sinister brooding characters here. You know, you're coming in with all that cultural context of these guys being trailblazers and definitely considered dangerous by the establishment at the time. But I would say even in the music, there's something particularly harrowing, and certainly on this track in particular. See if this is a good example of what I'm talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
looking at a cover of the single release, and in Japanese at the top I see it says, "This is rock with a message." First impressions from the group here.
I see what you mean about it feeling like this is an important work of art. You know what I mean? It reminded me so much of The Doors. Am I reading that right? Yeah.
I get that sort of loose psych rock feel for sure. And the voice.
Yeah, I hear like, early Patti Smith. Definitely like the first two Velvet Underground records. But there's something else going on. That dude's voice is like a question mark in the Mysterians or early Van Morrison or something. You know, there's like a yelp there that he's doing that's like really interesting. I could hear that song on like what is that called, Nuggets, you know, like that anthology series. That song could fit right in on Nuggets. I mean, if they did a Nuggets version of it, I think they did one for Latin America, I think if they did one for Japan, like that song would fit really snugly in there, because that's like, you know, the sort of proto 13th floor elevators type thing that they love. And that's right up my alley. I really enjoy that. It makes me want to hear the rest of the record.
It's interesting to think back to that sound where like it's 68, you know, it wasn't like you could load up GarageBand and like get your three friends to do that. So it's like crosses all
you had to have the money for a studio.
It crosses all these markers of like, yeah, go ahead, do that. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, that's actually before most of the comparisons I made, with the exception of Velvet Underground. They're arriving before pretty much everyone else. I mean, The Doors before this, but yeah.
To your credit, Thomas.
It's good, like, freak out music.
I guess it, you know, that kind of speaks to it being maybe ahead of the curve and thereby, you know, important.
Mm-hmm. Think so. Well, cruising right along to my next pick. We are indeed going to Italy. This artist was recommended to me recently by Marker Starling, friend of the podcast.
Carlo Ponte.
No. Riccardo Cocciante. Okay. As a matter of fact, came to prominence in the 70s and 80s. Fucking love the guy. He's got album after album I've just been jamming to for like the past 2 months now. Awesome songwriter. Great voice. He's got a great growl. You're going to hear that in a second. But this song, in particular, Bella Senza Anima, just sounds colossal. It sounds like a breakthrough. But I got no idea what he's saying in it. I don't speak Italian. I am excited to share it with both of you, though. It's from 1974, from the album Anima. If you like, go to look up the album on Spotify, right on the cover it says, arranged by Ennio Morricone, who did the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly soundtrack, among other things. This song, though, was not arranged by Morricone. This was, so it's a little misleading. This particular one was arranged by Franco Pisano, so just wanted to set the record there. This one's heavy, and I do feel a little bit of FOMO, like, there's a statement being made here. I'm on the outside looking in, but again, we'll see what y'all think. E adesso siediti su quella seggiola. Stavolta ascoltami, senza interrompere,
tanto tempo che volevo dirtelo, vivere insieme a te è stato inutile, tutto senza allegria, senza una lacrima, niente da aggiungere e da dividere nella tua trappola. Ci son caduto anch'io avanti prossimo, gli lascio il posto mio. Povero diavolo, che pena mi fa. E quando ha letto lui,
Thin Lear's doing air drums.
Ti chiederà di più.
Ooh, shredding it. Shred himself.
Glielo concederai.
It's like half his songs reach this intensity level.
Perché tu fai così? Come sai fingere? Se ti fa comodo. E adesso so chi sei.
So how'd that one strike is.
I didn't like this one as much as the last one. It was, he's going for it. He's definitely really going for it. I could tell why you like this song. You like those sort of smoldering ballads that build.
Me and Marcus Starling.
Yes. Yeah. Man, it was fine. I didn't dislike it, but it's not like.
You didn't get FOMO.
No. I mean, yeah. Like, it doesn't make me, like, the last one, I want to hear the rest of that record.
Yeah. It felt kind of timeless and crossing boundaries. Like, it felt like it didn't necessarily live purely in Italy sonically. Felt like it was maybe, you know, with an American singer, you wouldn't think twice about it, or maybe several other countries. And I think that there's a transferable quality to it, I think.
I like that. All right, well, neither of you is like Riccardo Cocciante that much. Okay,
that
all
was
right.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I, for one, my socks were knocked off first listen through of his album Anima, and I loved hearing the rest of his stuff all the way up until the mid-80s. The guy was pretty prolific, but who cares? Moving on. You've both heard of this next artist, M83?
Yeah.
I thought it was M83.
Oh, it probably
is. Pronounced M83?
Yeah, it's probably M83. Oh. I've never said it out loud.
Clearly.
Jesse, you got a pretty impressive synth collection. Get pretty into the weeds with your production. I imagine he's a big guy for you, or no?
Like, definitely aware of him. Yeah, but for me, it was more like you're walking through Urban Outfitters in 2009, and you're hearing that quack 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 quack, and you're like,
yeah, I do like that song still though.
Oh yeah,
that is an all-time banger.
Oh yeah,
Kim and Jesse. Yeah,
I do like Hurry Up, We're Dreaming.
That's a good one.
I like that record. Yeah. It just sounds huge. I think Saturdays Equals Youth is the other album I like from them, or know from them. And it's really just, it's like that one fellow with a rotating cast,
Anthony,
right?
Gonzalez. That is correct. Yeah. Speaking for myself, I've kept up with him and his releases all the way up until now. Like, I'm a big fan of Junk from 2016. Then he had like an instrumental one, DSVII or something like that. I'm always a fan of his soundscapes.
Are we going to listen to that song about the frogs?
What song? What?
From the from Hurry Up, We're Dreaming. There's a song about, I think it's a girl. It's like a little girl is singing in French about like a psychedelic frog.
I'm not familiar. No, we are going to hear a song sung in French. This one's from the album Junk 2016, featuring Mylan. The song is called Atlantique Sud. That's exactly how you pronounce it. I think that translates to South Atlantic. I don't know what's going on with these lyrics, but I find the song very touching, and it makes French sound amazing. So I would definitely argue it has a similar quality to the other two we've listened today, but y'all can compare and contrast.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Ready.
Atlantik Süd.
You make it sound German.
Atlantik, yeah.
real, like, stiff.
Touching story here, you know, there's a narrative,
right.
Guy and a woman going back and forth, but I don't know, it's pretty sounds. Alright, so that's that.
That's, tired. Yeah, I like that. It reminds me of that guy that I brought to you that you were like, no, eh, whatever.
Oh, Sebastian Tellier?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, he's decent.
Commonalities there in the Lush production.
See, the thing with him is you introduced him rightly so as like a great party soundtrack guy. Mm. I don't have any social engagements where I can throw him on. So I don't, if I had more interesting parties, I could get in him more.
Sure.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's not what I expected from M83, though. I didn't know they could go there.
They'll surprise you.
Or would.
Yeah.
Yeah, super classic feeling.
Yeah, less Midnight City, more...
Elegant.
I don't know. Air, like the Air.
You mean the band Air? Yeah, it's airy, yeah. But in that way, not the... But I guess also.
And, yeah.
It has a little bit je ne sais quoi. One might even say.
If it's French, it sounds like Air. It's what we've understood here.
Yeah. Category filed.
Yeah.
Is this Playground Love?
It's good.
We've never talked about Air on this podcast before.
Maybe we're about to.
That's weird. We should. Hey, yeah.
I'm down for that. They're one of those bands. It's like, yeah, they're really good. I don't have any
sure, yeah.
any extra there. Insight to offer there.
Are you bringing in Sigur Rós?
I'm saving that for my gibberish segment. I consider them for this, but no, that's but
yeah, it's not a
that's
real.
That's not a real language.
Well, they do sing in Icelandic, Sigurós, I believe.
That's not
it's
Icelandic.
Not just
it's made up language. I forget what they call it.
No, but one of the albums is okay. Made up language.
Yeah, the one that I know probably.
Sure.
Parentheses. We're gonna end with a track from South Korea from 1973. I dare say we're getting into the real shit, the good shit that doesn't come up too often on this show. I definitely, this is my ace in the hole here, saving the best for last.
Okay.
The singer is Kim Jung Mi. The album is called Now. Way back in the day here, like edgy, thoughtful folk rock was not really trending in the country at the time. And the guy behind this, like the songwriter and the guitar player, Shin Jung Hyun, who's like the godfather of Korean rock, ran into legal problems with the government and the president at the time. Like, it's some real counterculture revolutionary stuff here. This tune's dope. It's called Hey Nim. Tarantino Quentin Tarantino really missed the boat by not putting this in Kill Bill or something. I think this one has a lot of gravitas. Again, I have no idea what the lyrics are about. The drums sound like either they were working with like broken equipment or the engineer had like no idea what he was doing. Maybe a combination of the two, but it's all the more charming for it.
What if all of the lyrics of these songs are specifically like, here's this is a song about a guy named Thomas I fucking hate.
Well,
yeah, you have to stop listening to it, right?
I mean, you got to separate the art from the artist. Okay.
Sure.
I don't speak the language, so I can put it out of my mind.
Yeah, Justin brings up a good point. Like, we could be like spreading.
Oh, like some, these are all like hate speech. Horrible. Yeah.
God. Yeah, like these are awful. Like songs that have been banned, and we're like, this really sounds epic.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. Too late to turn back now.
Sure.
But anyway, here's a little bit of Kim Jung Mi, the song Haenim. Here we go.
I like this already.
I figured that'd be up your guys' wheelhouse.
Yeah,
but
definitely. That's my favorite one of the ones we've listened to. That and the first track. That one is just, that's totally something I would listen to. Just zone out. Very meditative. Yeah, I can see it in a Quentin Tarantino movie. I love that it sounds like live and you hear the hiss of the tape. And yeah, just beautiful.
Yeah, really, that was definitely my fave as well. You seem to know us somehow. The whole thought I was having the whole time was that it's so modern sounding. That riff, yeah. The ba-na-ba-na-ba, so yeah, simple, yeah. But it's clever as hell. And like I kept thinking about it, like if Adrian Lanker was playing this or something, people would be like, oh my God, this is the best musician of all time. Like just that little rhythmic thing is really trendy sounding to me.
The genius of Shing Jun Hyun.
Really good. Maybe
one day I'll dedicate an episode to him, but... Some real beautiful minds working in a very, at the time, austere environment.
Yeah.
I remember like the subject of like Korean music would come up in conversation when, you know, I'm moving over to Japan and K-pop is really kicking off then. So it's like, it would always be a conversation stopper if I'm like, well, I like Kim Jong Mi from 1973. Nobody's going back to that.
I guess the party's over.
It's all smiling faces. Yeah. And poppy dance moves. So yeah, didn't that one sound important? Sounded like
did.
Pearls of wisdom were being dropped.
Yes, you're right. That one drove it home for me.
Yeah, beautiful production too. On top of that,
you turn the snare on, would you?
So that was my spiel, but I'm gonna pass the baton. Basic Printer, what have you been listening to this week?
Losing my opinion.
Okay, well, I assume you're asking me what I brought to us not what I've literally.
Yeah, no, he does it. He insists on keeping this as our transition. That just
I've decided
works.
It's choose your own adventure. You can answer it literally if you want to, so we get to know a little bit about your tastes, okay. And then we move on to.
We'll turn it into that.
Apparently, my co-producer has thoughts on that.
I've been listening to my friends are in a band called Under the Rug, and they sent me. They're submitting their new album tonight, actually, and so they asked me to like just give final thoughts. So, and it was really amazing. Yeah. So I've been listening to that
Under the Rug.
But what I'm listening to many weeks. Well, I don't want to tee it up this way. Let me tee it up with a question.
All right.
When I say the name Carly Rae Jepsen, what do you think of?
You know what I think of.
Call Me Maybe.
Call Me Maybe. So call me maybe. Is that all that comes to mind?
I know that she's done a bunch of other stuff and that people like are into it, and I have no idea what it is.
Okay.
I heard rumblings of an alternative friendly follow-up. But that's all I know. And also, I believe she's Canadian. That's the only other piece of information that I have.
All of this is true at the base level, okay. I would say.
about as base as possibly be.
Now, what is your impression of Carly Rae Jepsen? I mean, there gave some info there, but like...
I mean, Call Me Maybe is sort of an undeniable pop song. It's like, every little thing she does is magic or something, where it's just like... Okay, like I completely understand why this exploded. Like it's just,
And somehow not that annoying. Like if it came on right now, I'm not going to be that bothered by it.
Okay.
Yes.
I agree wholeheartedly as well. And I think a lot of people do, which is why it was such a big hit. So kind of the case I'm bringing here today is that Carly Rae Jepsen is actually just like the ideal pop star for like the nerdiest like musician type listener.
Wow.
Carly Rae Jepsen's musicianship and recordings and concepts, like they're very high, I guess I want to say high execution, There's a lot of surprises. There's a lot of deftness. There's I think people really write Carly Rae Jepsen off for like, oh, they call me maybe, like kind of Rebecca Black adjacent kind of thing. Oh yeah,
that's a rough comparison. That's not fair.
Right,
at
but
all.
I think the average passerby is like, oh, I remember that vague memory of my of that being on YouTube.
And they were sort of concurrent as well. You brought that up.
You want to lump her in, or at least I do, with like Miley Cyrus, almost like, oh, they're walking the same paths or something.
Yeah, that kind of like mainstream like.
Industry bullshit kind of.
Right. Like,
sure, they're talented, but they're not putting it to good use or whatever.
Like, Carly Rae Jepsen, I think she's run, like, it's almost like, when you see a musician get famous, probably one of us, an internal thought you probably have had, even just one of the voices in your head is like, man, if I had,
XYZ.
Radiohead's success, that's a horrible example because I feel like they also do this. But if you had Drake's success, you would be like, I would be cutting off and doing all these concept albums and like art for art's sake and like marooning myself on an island and
taking advantage of it.
Exactly. In the hyper, and I think Carly Rae Jepsen's basically doing this. Like she hit Call Me Maybe and was like, now I'm gonna make crazy artistic shit and no one's gonna give me credit for it, but it's fine. And no one's gonna think of me that way, And so the songs I brought are kind of like what I think are the gems of this tendency of hers to like go to a headier place.
So is it like, and this might sound really stupid, but is Carly Rae Jepsen to top 40 pop what like Frank Ocean is to hip hop?
That's pretty good. I think so. I think that's
all right. Pat on the back.
Pretty close. Yeah.
You ever hear Robin? The artist
Dancing
Robin, like that was somebody. Yeah. Like people would keep telling me to listen to her, and being like, "This is like indie adjacent." Like she was sort of like absorbed into the indie world because it was just, I think, alternative and interesting enough where it was like, "All right, we're not calling this pop anymore." And that's what I had heard about her later, Carly Rae Jepsen's later work. It was sort of on par with that, but I hadn't listened to it, so I am excited to hear what it is.
Yeah, I hope it stands up. Are you ready for the first song?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Is this from the second record?
This is from the third record. The second record, yes, was what you noted about it, like it being like an alternative friendly follow-up. I generally agree with that statement. That follow-up was kind of like, it was a hit in like the quote-unquote underground, but it like didn't even come close to Call Me Maybe. You know what I mean? So it succeeded on one level and like quote-unquote didn't in another.
I am just trying to pull up a photo of her.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it, WebP image, the bane of my...
Yeah, we hate .WebP. Who likes .WebP?
Guys, what are you guys talking about?
The man. It's JPEG, but you can't fucking do anything with it. You can't do shit with it. It's copyright protected.
Okay.
Right.
I see.
And it looks and smells like a JPEG, just up right up until you want to download it, and then...
And it doesn't tell you, it doesn't warn you, you just, you're like, cool, that's what I want.
Nope.
And you go to load it somewhere, and it's a .WebP. And
your day's ruined.
Just like that.
So what's this song called?
This is called Everything He Needs. And yeah, it's from Dedicated, which I believe is third album, I think. And then I think it's 2018 or something.
I know Call Me Maybe. I don't know anything else. She didn't have like another song that was even half as big, right?
Do you remember? Yeah, for sure. Like, I Really, Really Like You.
Oh, that's her.
Yes.
Well, that's not so great. That
I don't know this.
Yeah, it's everyone kind of agree.
I really, 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 really like you.
Yeah, still don't know it. The second time I've heard it,
that's it.
Definitely heard that at the bowling alley back in the day. That one's not great, but so she left that sound too, is what you're saying. Or improved on it?
Yes. Deviates greatly, and I think both. I think she's taken that and done, like, matured versions of it in a way that's like, I'm still that person, but this is clearly, okay, like, I know shit now. And then also there's just far off, totally, totally different world.
All right, well, let's check out Everything He Needs.
He's strong.
Oh, you didn't tell me she had the Benny Sings sound here.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know he's that guy. Electric. Those lips can wear me out. Wild thing, he's all mine. It's crazy, but when he can't sleep, I understand. Like pressure points, my love can't ease him in my head. Cause he needs me, he needs me, he needs me.
This is a banger here, this chorus. Yeah, I'm on board. What is this kind of beat? Like, what's the shorthand for this? Just a swagger?
Well, is it what you'd call chunky, Thomas?
Oh, God.
It's not chunky.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
It's chunky adjacent, all but... Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm on board. Sold.
You like that?
It's way more pop than I would normally listen to. Obviously, if you think of what we typically talk about on this show, but it's the kind of pop that I admire and sort of like look at from afar, being like, that's really interesting. Like, this is stuff that I would never do, and in a really good way. Like, I'm just so incapable of generating something like this or understanding where it comes from. But yeah, it does sort of have this alternative vibe to it. There's something that's, I don't know what exactly, but there's something that is more experimental about it than I think a lot of typical pop that I would hear that use some of those sounds. But, you know, there's something about it that's a little, it's just different.
Yeah,
left of center. Yeah. I guess that's the way, I'd put
Thomas,
it.
Thomas, what did you think? I'm glad you seem to enjoy it so much.
I mean, the songwriting is there. The taste of it is something I like, which is just fucking hard to find as soon as we start talking about any of these artists. But it's like, if you sat down and played that song, like played those chords, sung that melody, like that's just going to sound good outside of the context of like, you know, needing to be top 40, whatever. Like that's just, that's there. I don't know if she wrote it or co-wrote it. She's delivering it very well. You put that much attention into a slinky, funky bass that doesn't just sound super derivative of the 70s. And you said chunky. It's not chunky, but the fact that that's even coming into the conversation bodes very well. That's big. And then, yeah, it's lots of interesting off-the-wall production choices, although, you know, it is still glossy, still a little, you know, plastic in your face, but it's I'm 100% on board for this thesis.
Yeah, and it makes great use of its plasticity. Yeah. You know, it's a feature of it.
I love to hear that. So here's the thing that for me really kind of, for a lot of people listening, you know, probably had the reaction, Thomas, maybe you just had. But even if they have that feeling, they still might be like, yeah, but is this a fluke? You know what I mean? And maybe, you know, you'll see some other ideas here. But the thing that really brings it to this empirical territory for me is like, that chorus is an interpolation of a Harry Nilsson song.
Yeah.
I recognized it
in my head. I was like, wherever he needs me. Like, I saw Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, that song from Punch Drunk Love. Yeah,
and that song is in that movie.
That's Nilsson. Yeah. The fuck?
That song was written for the original Popeye movie.
He needs me.
Oh shit!
See, it's nerdy. Yeah. In other words,
yeah. And then this is all circling back to Carly Rae right. Jepsen. What?
Like, and it's coming through that character. It's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think that was a great first song to kind of say both from a process level and a historical level and an artistic level. It's like you see that this is a thoughtful musician.
Okay. You're working on layers over here with this argument.
I suppose. I didn't really think it was that cohesive, but it kind of is. Okay, next one. This is from, a little bit of just teeing up place in the discography. Carly Rae Jepsen always releases a B-sides album to her, like, tentpole albums. And this is from her latest B-sides album, which, you know, the A-sides album is called The Loveliest Time. This is called The Loneliest Time, the album. And so it's quote-unquote B-sides. She actually, for the first time, didn't call it the Loveliest Time Side B. She usually just calls it Side B. She intentionally didn't do that this time because she felt like it was more of like an Amnesiac than it was B-sides
Kid
album. Right, I guess so, right? So, point is, this one is this is from her most recent release, and it's also, you know, potentially a B-side, so. And it's called Put It to Rest.
What year?
2023, I believe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting texture.
Faces lost in time.
Got a great production team.
Yeah, using it in a way she really typically doesn't on this one.
Close the cool.
like a moon-shaped pool style
yeah,
piano.
They're like elements of the song that could be like on, you know, the Smile or whatever. Yeah. Like if there's some part of it that can't and there's part of it that really can.
The Smile is a perfect call.
Oh yeah.
That's really, really great. Cool drumming. Yeah, that's totally cool. It's totally not what I was expecting from her. It's like a lot more just like earthy and glitchy. Yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly what it reminds me of. I mean, there are elements of like the Italians Do It Better label, like some of the folks that were involved in like the Drive soundtrack or whatever, where it's like this sort of glossy but gritty sound at the same time. You know, some of what LCD Sound System does or whatever. But this is a little bit glossier, obviously. But there's something earthy and organic about what she's doing.
Is she getting into the like Need for Speed or like driving at night video game market?
Right.
She needs to do some video game things ASAP.
It's awesome. She, I mean, I guess this is kind of like a side comment, kind of add some more context. Like, you know, Rostam Batmanglij?
Oh, hell yeah.
Like,
totally.
She doesn't work with him heavily, but like he's produced at least a couple songs with her.
Nice.
You know, like in terms of, you know, he might do some stuff like this, you know, maybe on an introspective day, I guess. But yeah, to me, it's like trade that out for Thom Yorke's voice, and it's fathomable that it's a radio song. Like, kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm noticing lyrically, it's still mostly pretty straight ahead.
Yes.
You know, love songs. I don't know if she ever diverges from that or
not usually.
Not that she needs to.
It's usually like every song is like, I am at the most intense height of a crush on you and I can't like overstate it.
So Call Me Maybe.
Call Me Maybe. It's all Call Me Maybe. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that was a good kind of different color of what she does. This next one is, I guess we'll stick to the same album. This is a different song from that same album called Aeroplanes.
There's a real like late 90s feeling.
I thought of Beck. Like the second I heard the opening of this, I thought of Beck.
1,000,000%.
Almost like Hikaru Utada or something. What? What's that chord change? I want you to be the one. Speak nice. I had a funeral for us
and for my life. If I could be the a little like, you know, TLC or something. But I won't hold you back
from anything. I want to give you everything. But with these production flourishes that are alternative.
So cool.
Is it Thundercat who's playing on this or something?
The phrases. It's like a Wolfpack song-ish.
Yeah. I don't see her name in collabs very often. Not that I'm always keeping track of that stuff.
I don't know that she's often on other people's stuff, but she involves a lot. Like, she's done something with Theo Katzman, who, like, does...
Oh!
Yeah. So it's...
Nice, yeah.
You can trace kind of real-life outcomes of some of these sounds.
Yeah, like, I would almost expect her to show up, you know, for a track on a Wolfpack album at this point. Because she has them come to her.
Right, but I like that thought. Like, why doesn't she? And maybe she did a song with Owl City, and this was like at the time when they were both big, and it really made sense.
Fireflies era.
Yes, like right on that Owl in City. The heart of that.
I like that song even better than the last ones we listened to. That's
I've liked all these. Yeah,
that's great.
Oh yeah, I liked all of them too. This is great. What would you say if someone was looking for a way in? You know. Someone with an indie brain is looking for a way in. Is it the second record or is it not the second record?
The second record is kind of like a cult classic for like, you know, r/music types. You know what I mean? And in this way that it was like, here is the mainstream like world that it, everyone's kind of like, come on, do some fan service. Like, don't just stay that path. And she kind of was just like, and just perfectly did that to where it would kind of please both parties, you know? And so it has a lot of reverence for that reason, but I don't think it's the most representative of like the headiness or like the smartiness of if you're truly like a, you know, a hipster about it.
A connoisseur.
Yeah. If you're a... So if someone was, it depends on how skeptical they are, right? Like how tough of a critic they are. I think if someone's super snooty, I would give them this B-sides album that the last two were from.
I'd say the one we just heard, Aeroplanes.
Yes.
That's the most, like, you put that on and everybody's going to be like, Carly Rae Jepsen? What?
Absolutely. Like,
the most confusing in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that could be to her advantage in the future, continually. This last one I picked was more like, this is maybe, so this is from that album, Thin Layer. Emotion is what it's called. So this is kind of earlier on than these last three were pretty recent. This is more in her heyday, and you'll see how she kind of still evolves the sound a little bit.
Making the Most of the Night?
Yes.
Is that the tune?
Making the Most of the Night.
So this would be like early 2010s?
Yeah, probably like 14, maybe.
Yeah, this is closer to what like Queenie listens to.
Yeah.
Weird flourishes even here. You start to...
Yeah, even the changes are atypical for this kind of music. I hear what you're saying, though. This is closer to that previous pop style. And I do appreciate the latest songs that we've listened to a whole lot more. Yeah, I hear your assessment here.
I mean, even this is a pretty big step away from Call Me Maybe.
Great, yeah, this is, for sure.
This is still like, a giant leap.
A lot more serious, a lot more muscular.
What was the name of the smile song that we...
That is like the funniest thing.
That was the B-side one?
There were a couple of B-side ones. That was...
Put It to Rest.
Put It to Rest.
Damn, that song is really special. Wow. I like the first three songs we listened to, I was just, you know, I really enjoyed all those and makes me think it's one of those Robin things where it's just like, you know, when people tell me like, hey, this is important pop to listen to, if enough people are saying that, usually it's because it sounds like this.
I can't think of any sort of true listener of music. I can't imagine not finding an entry point for any kind of serious music listener into her discography.
Also, what an albatross that song must be. It must have been. I mean, now maybe it's probably a lot different.
What a multi-million dollar albatross.
Yes, but still you get like, so you get terrible. Pegged down with it, you know.
Most people today don't even, like, kids today don't remember that song.
Yeah.
Or, if, I don't know, like, nobody, she's not in the pop star spotlight the way so many like other artists.
Yeah, but to get the machinery, but she is on these labels and stuff. So to get the machinery moving in the direction where you're allowed to release this must have been difficult.
Right.
Sure. But the proof's in the pudding. She's been turning out great stuff for a while now, apparently.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, that's great. It's all I can hope for, really. The last thing I have here, this is a very quick one, but it's just a little show and tell.
All right.
So I've been listening to podcasts for a while. I know what you're into. I know you listen to. And I was at the pawn shop. They have a huge record section. It's called McKay's. It's not really a chain. There's maybe like five locations, but it's just like this mega pawn shop. It's great.
Hmm.
Chain pawn shop sounds like a crazy
thing. Yeah. And I was in there and I found this record and I was like, the only people in the world that would love this as much as me are you two.
It's exciting.
Oh boy.
And so I've got the copy right here. I'm going to show it.
Wooden cave.
That's a Thin Lear classic right there. That's funny.
There we go. It's a Thin Lear album. And in fact, there were two of these there.
That's great.
Vinyl.
That's great.
I almost bought both.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said they found one at some, at a place in Ithaca. I think it was like Angry Mom Records or something like that. But
yeah,
I've not heard of any in pawn shops yet. And all I got to say is for those two folks who turned those in, come on, you know, what are you doing? Hold on to that.
That's, I think that ridiculous. That is maybe a high compliment. Like your music is circulated, you know,
sure.
It's enmeshed itself into the roots of the country at some level. It's all the way down to Tennessee.
That's great. That's really great to hear.
It starts with your vinyl being sold at pawn shops. Next thing you know, the next generation of DJ Shadows and the Avalanches are going to be sampling it.
Yeah, exactly. Like
Fat Boy Slim.
It's leached out into a new territory of, you know, sound.
Wow. That's great. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was crazy. I mean, have you ever ran into that? Like,
never when I'm with people. You know, like sometimes I'll be with people in a record shop and they'll be like, oh, let's look for your stuff. And like, never find it then. It's always when I'm by myself or this story can't be corroborated in any way. That's when it happens. I heard of one in England as well. One in a shop in London, which is like, that's crazy to me because we didn't even distribute there. So that's, but yeah, that warms the cockles of my cold heart to hear that. I thought we were going to talk about some really obscure thing. And in a way, we did.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Very welcome.
A great surprise and a great segment. I really am. I'm going to go back and listen to this.
That was
stuff
just
now,
as enjoyable as the last one. And you're right, it was very different. This was like this is a real man of the people one. The last one, I think.
Yeah,
was not.
Yeah.
But it makes me think that I need to listen to this. That B-sides record,
Gotta
check that out. Because everything we heard from that was just like sort of stunning. It reminds me of like Lee Gay Lee or something, or like those artists mm-hmm. that sit in that straddle that line of like what is pop and what is quote unquote indie, and is there even really a difference when someone like that is producing music?
So true.
Yeah, no question as to what I learned today. I've been underestimating her for the past 15 years now. So
yeah,
it's never too late.
Wow.
What did you learn, Thin Lear?
I learned a lot. I learned I gotta listen to Carly Rae Jepsen, which was definitely not what I thought I was going to come away saying when we were bringing on the Duke of Gloishpop. I did not think that we were going to be talking about this, and also that I would react in the way that I did. And when I respond like this to this kind of music, to music that my brain categorizes as pop, it gives me hope for myself that I'm not some salty mofo that's just like, this is the stuff I like and this is the stuff that I don't like. But that I still have in my old age enough of an open mind to be like, you know, yeah, you can jump on this and it is for you.
100%. I think that is one of the main purposes she serves, honestly.
And she doesn't yargle. She never yargled.
Exactly.
No,
dude.
Yargling, yeah.
Exactly.
Bass Printer, what'd you learn on the old show today?
Yeah, I learned that maybe the lyrics, you know, it could take a back seat. Just hand it, you know what? Write your top line, hand it off to somebody, say, write this in a different language.
You fill in the rest.
That's a great way to put you out of maybe a creative block.
ChatGPT, Google Translate, you'll figure it out. Thin Lear's biting his tongue right now. Well, fellas.
Love me some ChatGPT in the creative process, yeah.
Fellas, this episode comes out April 24th. Anything we want to plug? Anything we're excited about?
Nothing in particular for me other than just checking some stuff out. If you haven't already, from Basic Printer. And new stuff should be coming, a couple of songs this year, at the very least.
I'm glad to hear.
Yeah,
I've been waiting with bated breath. Again, Fantastic Wrist, one of my favorite releases from the past few years.
That's so cool.
Yeah, speaking of music that I don't typically listen to, but really enjoy, that is there.
Oh, great. Yes. Yeah, I've been steeped in Carly Rae Jepsen to learn how to do that.
Learn from the master.
I totally hear her style rubbing off on you too a little bit.
I think more so than ever, like coming up. Yeah, that's cool.
Are you working on a new record?
Yeah, I mean, like,
or just sort of always working on new stuff.
Exactly. Like the next three songs start to pave a path or something,
and yeah.
I hope that path ends up being like an album, and it seems to be going that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I asked you that. I hate when people ask me that, but it's the same process where it's just like, I have a smattering of tracks and maybe at some point they'll start to sound like of a piece, and that's when it turns into something.
Yeah, and then you start gluing some stuff together. And
I got a new single and a new animated video drop in 2 days from when this comes out. Rudy, it's an instrumental piece,
yes.
Highly Brian Wilson, Beach Boys inspired.
About your dog?
It's my, I like to say my dog, my parents' dog that we get to pet sit every other week, but a true treasure of a canine.
I'm glad he's got a song.
Thin Lear, you don't got any? You got something.
So a week from now, on May 1st, the second single off the Beach of Nightly Glory EP, the song's called Bowie's Ley Lines, and it's coming out May 1st. I believe it's premiering through Under the Radar Mag. So you'll be able to listen to it on April 30th. And it has a video with it that has some crazy animation from an illustrator named Paula Arantz, who is just, she was amazing. And the footage was shot by my partner, Emily. And it's just a real great combination of organic, homemade, and surreal. So I hope you will enjoy the video and song on May 1st.
You're getting in the animated game too. A big week for both of us with these releases. Hashtag cartoon boys.
Yeah, when you got a face like mine, you need to get to illustration. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Love it.
This is great. I mean, you have to come back.
I wonder what other please. Nuggets you got up your sleeve now. I think you're always a surprise.
I'll come knock in with my, you know, arm full of scrolls.
It's always...
I got another crazy one.
It's always something that we don't typically listen to. And I feel like those are some of our strongest episodes, is when it's not like me and you talking about our favorite, Harry Nilsson record or whatever. It's like, all right, yeah, we get it. You guys like this shit. But this is a good change of pace.
Perfect. I'll keep doing that.
Sounds like a plan. And you out there, if you're listening to this, go ahead and subscribe so you never miss a future episode. And you can follow Losing My Opinion on Instagram, TikTok, or let's all do it together.
X. Yeah, do like a DX
all
thing.
All at Losing My Opinion.
DX chop.
And Ricardo Cocciante. It's a beautiful voice, beautiful songs.
Of course he brings up the one he feels slighted by.
Great, great artist. Check out his discography. Definitely worth your time. And I could be wrong now. Think so.
God, the insults to the Italian community that come out of this podcast on a monthly basis. I'll say so long, suckers. Thank you, Jesse, and we will see you next week. He needs me.